Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, man. Come on, let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it! You gotta see it!
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon! Welcome in, Danny and Dusty, on this beautiful Friday afternoon. No, Danny, tis just me. And Will Ortner back up in the studio. This is a Eugene edition. I'm down. For those YouTube animals or Twitch.tv animals that are watching the stream, you have Autzen Stadium behind you. This is where I usually do my Wednesday shows during the week. But because of the travel schedule, because of the Rose Bowl coming up, I am down here in Eugene on a Friday. And I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm starting to get into the quarterfinal mode, Mr. Will Ortner. I'm here. I'm here for it all.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. I'm already, although the bowl games are starting to get good now.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm okay with waiting a little bit for the college football playoff.
Can I tell you this, sir?
Yeah.
I finally started getting into bowl season. The
Same.
College football playoff, the 12-team playoff. It was an afterthought, the rest of the bowl games. The first few handful of bowls, am I a sicko and did I still watch? Absolutely I did, because I am a sicko and I'm going to watch those games. But I really started getting into the bowls, I wanted to say over the weekend. It just feels like with the holidays, it's all just mashing together.
Mm-hmm.
But really it was like the 26th you really started getting into the bowls. And then last night, we had an 8 overtime thriller. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Toledo. Maction.
How many times did they storm the field? Was it 4 times? 3
yeah,
times?
It happens, though, and I don't blame them one bit. I mean, them's the rules. You think you win a game, you go ahead and you storm that field, especially when you are from the MAC conference. I am all for everybody that has criticized and laughed at me for watching far too much Maction on a Tuesday and a Wednesday night. I will shove this in your face. Toledo beat Pitt 48-46 in 6 overtimes last night. Let's go.
It's beautiful. You remember?
Let's go.
There was a point in time when Pitt was undefeated. Just remember
yeah.
that. There was a point in time where people were talking about Pitt like, do they maybe
playoff
get in the
maybe.
Playoffs?
No, absolutely not. They don't. Hey, we are coming off, though, the Christmas holiday. Everybody have a good Christmas? You have a good Christmas, Ortner?
No, I'm fat again.
Uh-oh.
I don't like it.
Did you?
I'm in a fast right now.
You did? What? Oh, no. You're going to get grumpy, Ortner. You can't start a fast when you have a long day of radio.
No, I'm fine. I can start a fast. I already worked out. I've been up since 5, dude.
So
we're grinding.
How much did you gain?
15 pounds.
Since when?
When was New Year's Eve? Is that Tuesday?
Wait, New Year's Eve? That's next Tuesday.
Christmas Eve. I put
you
on 15 pounds.
You gained 15 pounds since Tuesday? And I heard you, Will Ortner, bragging about your weight loss journey.
I was 229 on Monday morning, which was the first time I had been 229 probably since 15 or 16 years old.
No way.
And I got on the scale this morning because I was like, I knew it was bad. You know, when you just sit there and there were cookies and peanut butter pie and cherry pie and apple pie, and they were all just kinds of goodies and treats. They were all out and they were everywhere.
I just named a bunch of pie, dude.
I have no self-control. No, I had like 8 prime rib sandwiches. I had 8 lasagnas.
I was eating
breakfast. I think I ate a whole plate of deviled eggs. It was ridiculous. Oh, and it was to the point too where I knew I wasn't hungry. Every single bite, like beforehand, I had to do a big like, oh God. And I just kept eating. I just kept putting it in my face hole. And when I got up today, I was like, I'm going to look at the scale. It's probably like 8 or 9 pounds.
Nope.
You're going to go to the gym and it's leg day and you'll walk a little bit and it'll all be okay. And I saw 245 on the scale and I've never felt grosser.
Wait, Will, that's 16 pounds, bud.
That was 229.9.
Okay. But you saw 229. That's the important thing. That's the only thing that matters.
I saw 229.
Where were you at your heaviest?
315.
315. Wow. So you lost like a fifth grader. You've lost a fifth grader since your playing weight.
Yeah. Oh. I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm contemplating the New Year's resolution, one of them being get to 215. Just to be like, I did 100, like I got rid of 100 pounds. I don't know how sustainable that is, you know, but I think I could get it.
Not after this, boy. Well, Merry Christmas to you. You had a great Christmas. It sounds like
too good to the point where I only had like, I tweeted out like Merry Christmas. I only had one plate for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I had like 8 plates of cookies before and after.
Yikes, bud. Yikes.
It's not good.
Well, hey. It'll come off quick, is what I'm going to tell you. Keep fighting the good fight, my man. I just hope that you don't get into that grumpiness during a fast that you know is going to happen. When is the last time you ate food?
I had a protein shake this morning, so maybe that doesn't count as a fast. My last food eaten would have been last night. I had 2 pieces of peanut butter pie. And some banana bread.
That's how you ended your binge was...
Well, there was a gluten-free option a gluten option, and I had to figure out if the gluten option was better than the gluten-free.
Well, you carry 245 very well, so just keep that in mind.
Why do you
keep
think I got the black mind. Sweatshirt on, buddy?
Slimming.
I'm a veteran of this game. I'm well known around these fat guy parts.
We are now in the Hera household coming out of Christmas. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and happy start to Hanukkah if you celebrate Hanukkah out there, because that started on the 25th as well. So happy Hanukkah. My wife and daughter went to a little Hanukkah party they went to their friend's house and they go through like a little, you know, origins of Hanukkah every year and kind of, you know, get the Christian kids into Hanukkah and the traditions. So happy Hanukkah to those that celebrate. That's underway. I hope everybody had a great Christmas as well. We are now a video game house. Yeah.
You just bragged about not being one too.
Well, I know, because you can't give up the goods, right? You can't give up the goods. And I knew it was coming to an end. We got my son a Nintendo Switch, which those are rad. Mario Kart.
I blew his mind,
and he had no idea what was coming. Because I even gave him the, so what do you, how do you go? Which was actually a legitimate question at the beginning, because I was like, I haven't played this in so long. They may have switched up the buttons on me. It gets me in all the video games. But I still got it, man. It is like riding a bike playing Mario Kart, and he dropped it. Dad, have you played this before? You're like really good at this. I was like, beginner's luck. And then I hit the shortcut on the Rainbow Road, and it was game over, buddy.
I love that you still remember that. I told you this. I think when we talked about this on Monday, I said there's one game that you never lose it, and you Mario Kart.
And I believe that with my whole heart now. You know, I was hopping into corners, and I'm just dominating Mario Kart, and it left him in awe. And it's like one of those things when you are a parent, you get these small victories where your kids are just amazed by you. And we all had those moments, like with our dad, right? Like, oh, yeah. Dad picks up something heavy. You're like, whoa, he's like Superman over here. That was Mario Kart, and I've just been crushing it, and I've been teaching my son the tricks of Mario Kart, and I got to tell you, it's rewarding. Now I just need to get him to stop his blossoming video game addiction, because there's a reason why I'm really good at Mario Kart. It's because I put in the hours. Malcolm Gladwell would be very pleased with the hours that I put in. I've got my 10,000 hours in on Mario Kart.
Oh,
and
geez.
I can see he's already careening down that path of he's going to be addicted to Mario Kart as well.
Well, how old is he? How old is your kiddo? He's like fourth grader,
he's second
right?
grader. He's second grader.
He's second grader?
He's seven. He turns eight next month. But,
I think you planned this right, though, because he's going to get, first of all, he's going to get the games, but it mm-hmm. sounds like you're going more of the younger games, which smart move, by the way. There's nothing worse as a teacher than a kid dropping a word that he shouldn't drop and then being like, hey, don't say that word. Well, they say it in my video game.
Yeah.
No GTA for the 7-year-olds. But I think you planned it right, because if you wait too long and he's like 11 or 12, he's going to finally, like, as soon as he gets the video game console, he's just going to play all day. That's all he's going to want to do, because he finally gets it. If you give it to him too young, it's all he's going to know. Mm-hmm. You've now put it in, like, the perfect time frame of, like, his buddies can come over, they can play a couple of games, but at the same time, he's going to be like, I kind of want to go outside, I want to go do other things.
Yeah, he's going to, well, his mom's a teacher, so this is all going to be, it's going to be a rude awakening when it's like, no, you're not playing. Nope. And they have these things now where you can like set up like on their thing, like they can only play a certain amount, and then the game's just like, deuces, I'm turning off. We didn't have that when I was a kid. Mario Kart and Street Fighter, I was just holed up playing those hours on end, not going to bed. So we're in it right now. And as Rufio points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326, you got to establish digital dominance, just like one-on-one in the driveway. This one, though, no tears. There have been tears over one-on-one in the driveway. You know, he starts saying, you can't block my shot, and then I send one across the cul-de-sac. And he starts crying, and mom's yelling at me. And I'm like, well, he told me I couldn't block his shot. I had to then block his shot. Like, it has to happen. We all learn those lessons. Those are valuable lessons. Yeah. When you tell me, Dad, you can't block my shot, I'm too good, you need to get humbled a little bit. And those things happen from time to time. Does he get one by on me? Yeah, he does. He does every now and then. But, you know, sometimes these things got to happen. I will say, the Mario Kart, We're not there. He knows he needs to sharpen up his game before he can start mouthing off about the Mario Kart.
He might never get past you on Mario Kart, because it's a video game. You can always keep playing that. But eventually, just so you know,
I know.
Those, like, every once in a while that he gets one by you, they don't stay every once in a while.
I know. But I know that Father Time is undefeated. And then it's going to happen one of these days. The day that's going to be hard, though, is when he's actually stronger than me. that one's going to be a tough one.
I'll tell you right now, from the look on my dad's face, it hurts. It hurts.
Dude, it hurts. And, it's going to hurt.
You know what? Sometimes if you have a child that's much larger than you, it comes faster than you think.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's going to be the tough pill to swallow. So, but right now, Mario Kart, I'm in. I'm back. I'm so back. It was. It's been a great few days. This text: my son got Connect Four for Christmas, beat him 12 times in 10 minutes, and finally had to let him win so he wouldn't actually play again. Thoughts? Yeah, I think that you asserted the dominance over him.
That dad rocks.
You do need, like, every now and then you gotta give a win. You know, or you're just going to break them. You're just going to break them. So every now and then it's you let one slip and then you give them the, hey, nice job. You got it. Me on that one. You got me on that one. But no mercy. There should be a little bit of mercy. There should be a little bit of mercy. And that's okay to have a little bit of mercy. What you can't let them do is, in my opinion, never be the parent that is always let them win. Because that's just an unrealistic expectation, right?
No, that's poor parenting.
Yeah. Like, when we are doing BP, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm throwing pitches to my son, you know, he'll get a little confident, and he's just roping them. And then you gotta throw a couple by him, you know, because that's what happens in baseball. You're not going to hit every ball. Mm. So sometimes, you know, the heat's going to get dialed up, and that pitcher finds one, and he's not just going to be grooving them all day long. So these are things that you gotta, sure, assert the dominance, let them win, just like when they're honing their own skills. Also, let them know, still got it a little bit. I still got it. You're not gonna bat 1,000 against me in BP.
You're not gonna win every time. I'll let you know right now. I obviously don't have kids, but I do have little cousins.
None that you know about, of course.
I'm well aware of what's going on. I'm good. I'm just saying, I got little cousins, and I'll tell you right now, they never get any by me. If I don't want to, I'll dominate their dojo, and I'll pick their sport.
There's a line of delineation here. You also, as an uncle or a cousin that is far older, it is upon you to be fun cousin or the funkle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, all bets are off because you can just send those kids home, right? You don't have to deal with bedtime.
That's right.
You know, you can just dominate them in any sport or game, and that's okay. But then you can smooth it over by just, you know, pumping them full of sugar, which if there was any left after you ate it all, Will, you could just get them ramped up on sugar and all is well in the world. As a parent, you can't really do that because there's going to be hell to pay on the other end of this thing. You know, that's the good part about being the older cousin or the fun uncle is that, yeah, you could dominate them, but then you could smooth it over by just all the candy in the world.
100%.
Can't do that really as a parent.
100%, dude.
Can't really do that as a parent. So good on you for continuing to go ahead and beat your younger cousins. That's totally okay. That's sure. Totally okay.
And I'll pick their sport. You want to play some volleyball? Let's go.
Oh, all right. Now there will be a time, though, Will. They're gonna get you. And this is the other thing. You have to be ready for them to take it out on you like you took it out on them.
Here's the thing, though. They're sweet little angels.
Yeah.
So it'll be much worse because they'll be like, it's okay, Big Will. You had your time.
Yeah. Like, this is the hard part is that I got a nephew who is a big boy. He's a big boy.
Nice.
And he is he's a freshman in high school. He's an O-lineman. And so now I'm at the point where, am I going to continue to wrestle him? Because it has been dominance. But my nephew, he's getting to that point. He knows how to use leverage now. He weighs way more than I do. And I don't know if I want to hit the wrestling mat with him anymore. Hey, Uncle Dusty's not above fighting unfair. I'll go dirty. You know, my name is Dusty. I'll go dirty. I'll fight dirty in this one. He may get a fish hook. He may get a cross face. I don't know, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to win. So I just need to make sure he knows the rules of engagement before we start. Is that if this thing's going sideways on me, you know what's coming. I'm going to teach you. I've taught you how to wrestle. I've taught you never leave an open hook. Yeah, you may get a crossface if things start going wrong for me. I may try to anchor that fish hook and get you on your back. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. We'll see how much leverage you have. All right. So that's our sentimental family Christmas segment.
Kicking our cousin's ass.
It's okay to fish hook the nephew. It's okay to fish hook the cousin if you're losing. If you're losing. All right. All right. Let's get to it today. We got a lot that we need to get to. This is my last show before I head down to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. So we will talk Rose Bowl, Oregon, Ohio State, the rematch of an all-timer here in Autzen Stadium back in October. We've got a ton of NFL to get to because we're already three games into the rearview mirror for week 17 of the NFL season. The Seahawks played last night. We watched that game.
Yep.
We watched that game. Not a pretty football game. It was not a pretty football game. We will discuss it, though. We will discuss it. Because something happened that in that game that has not happened in a very long time. And then I think where we got to start, though, Blazers get a game winner from Scoot Henderson last night. They knock off the Utah Jazz, avenging that 40-point defeat with a 2-point victory in Moda. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Portland Trail Blazers pick up a win last night in Moda Center to improve to 10-20 on the season. They're still not a great basketball team. But last night was one of those games where you take a win when you can get it in seeing a little bit of improvement. And seeing a little bit of progress, especially after what, you know, what I still qualify as the most depressing loss of the Blazers rebuild. The 40-point loss to Utah earlier when they were just a 4-win team. You want to see a little bit of fire coming out from the hometown team. And I think what we saw last night is if you're talking about, all right, what are the building blocks going to look like moving forward? Wins and losses don't really matter. You want to see improvement. You want to see guys playing hard. Chauncey Billups not with the team due to the death of his grandmother. And look, that I feel awful for Chauncey Billups and his family, and him not being on the team or on the bench. That didn't dictate that game one way or the other, because what you saw was players finding a rhythm finally. And we've seen this build up, and this was happening, you know, last week as well. And we talked about this with Danny, and Danny was really complimentary of Shaedon Sharpe in the aggressiveness, the control that he's playing with. And he went off last night, man. 27 points on 11 of 18 shooting and coming up with big plays when it mattered for the Blazers. Those are things that you go, yes, we may actually finally be seeing Shaedon Sharpe turning a corner with the development. A lot of this is going to be, you know, health. Can he stay healthy? Does he stay healthy? And does he continue to build on what we see in these flashes and in these spurts? But this isn't just a one-off game for Shaedon. 5 of 10 from three. That is new and great, and you love to see that. But 27 points and just the way that he was able to keep Utah on his heels, because he is one of those guys who we talk about this all the time. One of the biggest issues with the Blazers, their lack of creators. And he was a creator last night. And you've heard about this throughout, you know, the off season in his summer runs when he'd go down and play with other NBA players, whether it was in LA or New York or wherever. You heard continually Shaedon Sharpe is looking like that dude that everybody thought he could be. Again, injury happens, and that kind of slows anybody seeing the development that everybody was talking about all summer long. But you saw it last night, and you saw it in a big way from Shaedon Sharpe. You add on to that, Denny Advia comes out, and he drops 27 of his own, and he was amazing playmaking for the Portland Trail Blazers. And it wasn't just a barrage of three-pointers. Denny was doing it every which way, man. I mean, getting to the free throw line and kind of finding those spots in the soft spots of Utah. His ability that everybody had talked about of what he could be, not this year, but moving forward, and what he was last year for the Wizards. He was really good in that starting lineup. He went back to the bench, and it was kind of a bit of a roller coaster again. Well, he had a game where he popped last night. And then to cap it off with Scoot Henderson hitting a game winner, that is – there's been a lot of reasons to criticize Scoot Henderson in his first, what, year and a half almost of playing for the Portland Trailblazers. That was a beautiful play, a little step back and create some space, knock it down with 0.1 to go. Those are just good things to see. Now, Blazers did have a five-point lead with 40 seconds to go and needed a game winner at the end, but that's who this team is, right? They are still far from being a good team, but what you saw last night was some of the building block plays, and that's or building block performances from players. And not a lot of guys are going to be on this roster moving forward. What this roster looks like come February, come next year, when it is starting to become, all right, we're ramping this thing up and turning the corner, hopefully, when you're banking on ping pong balls, who the hell knows what's going to happen. That was a sight for sore eyes to see the Blazers win in that fashion yesterday.
Well, it felt like the perfect Blazer game too, right? Because it's Sharp who's showing you how well he can play. It's Henderson showing you how well he can play. It's Avia showing you how well he can play. It wasn't like, oh, Anfernee had a big game, like what you saw a lot last year, or like Ayton had a big game, or obviously last year, but Brogdon had a big game. Mm-hmm. It felt like when you won close games, it was guys who you didn't factor into the long-term plans of the Blazers as an organization that were making the big plays, that were being the catalyst for that success. Yep. And finally, it's the young guys. I think the most impressive stat line from Sharp in this game, he didn't go to the free throw line.
No.
He's no free throws. Nope. It wasn't like he was a foul merchant in this one. He was attacking, and yeah, he's getting buckets. You have to assume in most situations, in most games, he's going to get fouled at least once when he's attacking downhill like that, because three-pointers can be kind of fickle. Some days you're going to have a lot that go in. Some days you're not.
Especially with this team.
But I just love that it's finally the guys who factor in long-term. And there's another guy in Donovan Klingon who has showed signs of having key moments or being that rim protector that you wanted. And he's just coming back slowly from his injury that he had with his knee injury. So I love that you've seen the signs, and it feels like it's the younger guys when you have these games where, hey, it's close, Scoot's going to get the last shot. Or, hey, it's close because of what Avia and what Sharp were able to do in the second, third, and fourth quarters lead up to that final shot.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's 0.1 second to go, but I know I'm not alone in this, is that last night, knowing that Donovan Klingon was on the floor just standing in front of the rim, I was like, dude, they're not going to be able to tip that in. I know that Lamar and Calabro brought up, like, hey, watch out for Lauri Markkanen. He's going to come try and fly in and tip this thing in. But it was like, finally, like this, oh, they're good.
Right.
He's not gonna let them get to a point where they're going to tip this ball. And he ended up snaring the final heave from Utah. Mm-hmm. So Donovan Klingon, I love him. And the injury, we saw that the block streak ended when he came back from injury. I really like what he has and what he's going to hopefully grow into as the Blazers big moving forward. Good win last night for the Blazers. 122-120. And then, as Danny said, guys, the losses are going to come. All right? They're going to start racking up. This was about, I think Danny at the very beginning of the year said, through the first 30 games, they're going to be like 8-22. You know? And it's not going to be good. He talked about this in the first couple weeks of the season. They got two unexpected wins, where it's like, whoa, where'd these come from? So they're 10-20 right now. They are just barely above the expectation of where they should have been at the beginning of the year. They picked up another one of those unexpected wins over Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you also lost by 40 to the Utah Jazz. So it's going to even out at some point. Now you're staring down the next handful of games. Dallas without Luka, Philly, which got a big win over the Celtics on Christmas Day, and then you go to the Lakers on January 2nd, down in L.A. So any Duck fans going down to the Rose Bowl, if you're sticking around, Blazers in L.A. for the Lakers on January 2nd, and then they go to the Milwaukee Bucks after that on the 4th. They're going to start coming in droves, these losses. Take what that was. It was a nice little win for the hometown team in the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, 503-864-6326. What the heck happened? That just happened. Next on The Fan, here's Will.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl came down to a two-point conversion at the end, and Navy beats Oklahoma.
What a great game. See, this is why you can't take away the bowls. Bowl games are fun. Bowl games matter.
Yeah, they do. And, like, I'm trying to think, when do you think the last time that Navy and Oklahoma played, or Navy had a team that was good enough to beat Oklahoma?
Probably since before World War II. You know what I mean?
It was actually after World War II. I have it up right now.
Really?
This was only the second meeting between the two schools.
So Navy is 2-0 against Oklahoma?
They are now 2-0 all time against Oklahoma.
So they beat, I don't know, is this like during NAM? Like the last time Navy beat Oklahoma was during NAM?
No.
When?
No. It was before that. 1965.
So Korean War time. I was on the opposite sides of the wars.
The 1965 Oklahoma midshipmen beat Oklahoma in Norman 10-0.
What a barn burner.
John Cartwright, the quarterback of the team for Navy back then. And so, yeah, now all time, the midshipmen 2-0 against Oklahoma in football.
Do you think Oklahoma is going to start scheduling them? Like, we got to switch this. Can't be 0-2 against Navy.
No, you can't do it. But I love that. And what I love about it is I've never really thought about the size of Navy players until we went to the Army-Navy game. They are not big, man. I think Navy has 200 300-pounders on their team.
Oh, geez.
Because you have to get a waiver to be over 300 pounds to be in one of the academies. So, like, just think of that from a sheer size standpoint. Like, these guys, when I was walking on the field, I was sitting there thinking, the NAIA school that I played for had bigger offensive linemen and defensive linemen than Navy does, right?
Oh, yeah.
Colin Ramos, who he had 12 tackles in the Lockheed Martin Bowl, and he was all over the field in the Army-Navy game, like everywhere in that game. He's number 44. Mm-hmm. He's an inside linebacker, and he's listed at 5'11", 209. And I stood next to him, shook his hand after the game, after the Army-Navy game. He's not 5'11".
That's small.
Maybe with his helmet on and in his cleats, he's 5'11". But he's probably 5'9", 5'10", 200 pounds. And that's the thing about the academies is that you're like, how in the world are these guys playing Division I football and really good? Like, Navy 10-3 on the year, right? Army is 11-2 on the season. They're not just playing, but they're beating regularly these guys that are behemoths and monsters. I don't know what Oklahoma's starting offensive line, what they're listed at, but I guarantee you they are, every single one of them is over 300 pounds, and they just win with discipline. They win with leverage. And on the final play of the game, Oklahoma scores and they go for two and Navy gets home.
Yeah.
They blow it up and there's a guy wide open in the end zone, but they couldn't even get through the read. Oklahoma now finishes the season 6-7 and loses to Navy in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Let's go.
Well,
let's go.
Like, the best part about it too is you talk about the discipline. Haskins is known for his escapability over at Oklahoma. Like, that's why they benched Arnold for him early on, because Arnold couldn't move as well as this kid could. And two Navy guys get in, and they just, it's proper technique. You're tracking that near hip. They don't let him get outside of the pocket. They close him in together, and then they get home and get the sack to get the stop. Like, if that was a normal college football program, as soon as you get through as a D lineman, most of those guys are going to be chomping at the bit, and they're just going to take off. They're going to have their ears pinned back and go. They're not going to think about the possibility of the quarterback juking them and then now being set up to get that two-point conversion, get home free. You know, so it also shows that it pays dividends. Like, yeah, they run a weird offense that if you don't prepare for it or have time to prepare for it or see it every year, that it can be difficult to stop. Well, Oklahoma had the time. Brent Venables is one of the best, if not best, defensive minds in all of college football. He had them schemed up. He had it all figured out, yet they still can't find a way to win that football game. It was awesome.
Nope. So Navy beats Oklahoma 21-20 in the Armed Forces Bowl. I can't believe that. That's crazy.
This is why bowl games matter, dude. They're important.
I now have the two deep up for Oklahoma in their offensive line.
I bet you they average 315.
They go left tackle 6'6", 309. Left guard 6'5", 316. Center 6'3", 310. Right guard 6'4", 339. Right tackle 6'6", 313.
I'll tell you right now too, like in some positions they put weight on dudes. In the O-line position, they take weight off dudes. I'll tell you right now, add 10 to 15 pounds on all of those weights, because they're going to play it bigger.
I will give you the three down for Navy now. 6'3", 263, 6', 278, 6'1", 273.
I bet
that's their defensive line.
I bet you could take 10 off those, too.
Their linebackers go 217, 207, 209, 228.
Oh, my gosh. I played against bigger linebackers in D2. At Central Washington, I played against bigger guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, in the era of the portal, the guys aren't leaving.
Well,
guys aren't coming in. Because, like, when you go to a service academy, that's the other thing, too, is that these guys are going to be there for 4 years, right? So it's not just that they're undersized, but they're all sticking around for the entirety of their career. And that continuity of playing alongside somebody and playing in the same system for multiple years, that goes a long way, man. I love that. I love that for Navy. Way to go, Navy.
That's awesome.
And now Oklahoma's got to be, they're on tilt. And the SEC's on tilt, as Dio points out on the Vancouver Ford text line. Navy didn't beat Oklahoma. Navy beat the SEC. SEC record this bowl season, 2-2.
I love that. I also love that after all their whining and crying that Tennessee just got smacked. And I know that's not what this segment was, but I love seeing Paul Feinbaum have to carry the water for the SEC after an SEC team loses a really bad game.
Yeah, he does it. He does it better than anybody, though. He does it better than anybody. All right. Hey, from the SEC losing a bowl game to an SEC, former SEC player, being too on brand, and he may be my new favorite player in the NFL. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty, it's a Dusty and Ordner edition as I'm down in Eugene. This is the last show that I will be on the air for this year. So we'll dive into the college football playoff, the Oregon-Ohio State matchup, and obviously the week of the NFL that has happened. And what's on the line coming up starting tomorrow, where the Chargers will take on the New England Patriots, and they got them playoff hopes on the line for the LA Chargers. But a team that does not have any playoff aspirations right now are the Carolina Panthers. Although, dude, Bryce Young has been playing a lot better. And Dave Canales has people need to start putting some respect on Dave Canales' name as a guy who is a quarterback whisperer. Think about what Canales has done. Geno Smith up in Seattle, Baker Mayfield in Tampa. And it's not like Bryce Young is going to be like a franchise quarterback or a guy who's going to win a Super Bowl. But the fact that he has gotten Bryce Young to look competent and get them and keep them into games, pretty impressive. They're 4-11. They're still not very good. But a man that needs to be discussed any time that he talks is Xavier Leggett, the South Carolina Gamecock, who's a rookie wide receiver. His year has been a roller coaster, but the man is a quote machine. He is so country it hurts, and I love everything about Xavier Leggett. I really do. Like, the way he plays, the fact that he just does not give a rip, that he is a little bit country bumpkin in him. Actually, a lot of bit of country bumpkin in him. So country, in fact, he talked prior to the Christmas holiday of the, I don't know, the fair at the Leggett household. And he said he was going to be eating raccoon. Xavier Leggett yesterday brought raccoon to the team locker room and shared it with his teammates. And the media didn't even believe him, so he even busted it out during his press availability. Take a listen.
I got some right now.
Look, so the people want to know how you're picky eater when you eat coon.
I mean, I don't eat the bell peppers and all that extra stuff like this, so anything that's exotic, that, like this stuff is too exotic for me.
The bell peppers?
Yeah, the bell peppers are what's exotic?
Yeah, that's exotic. The coon is regular. I mean, I've been eating that since I came out.
So what'd you have for Christmas?
I had some coon. I bought some with me today, too.
Where is it?
What?
Let me see it.
You know what?
Can I even try a piece?
I already gave it to
you. Stop it.
They're for me.
That's what it looks like?
Really?
Can we take a picture of that?
Well, y'all is crazy, man.
It looks like... It looks weird.
Doesn't look like that's not what I expected.
I thought it could be in clumps. Mm-mm. Did you smell it, Casey?
Yeah.
Have you thought about
it? Casey, now put your nose in there.
Oh, yeah. I just brought it with me that morning. Okay. I had it in the fridge.
Wait.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So much to unpack from that. First thing, he's like, no, I really do eat raccoon. Like, I've been eating my whole life, and I had to bring it in so my teammates could have it. What did you see the pictures of what it looked like?
I saw the video. It
kind of looks like shredded pork a little bit.
Yeah, which is not what I would have expected.
No.
I'm dumb. I would have expected ground beef.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
Yes. But then he says, I don't eat all the other stuff. The bell peppers are exotic. I'm with the reporter on that one. Of all of the things that you're going to sit there and say I wouldn't eat, bell peppers would be at the bottom of that list. Raccoon, probably at the top. Probably at the top. But he's like, nah, this is it. I don't know.
Like, what can you compare it to? Because, like, what are raccoons? They're trash pandas, but I wouldn't expect them to taste like a bear.
Let's see.
Like what? Right, what would we compare it to? And don't say chicken. Everyone says chicken.
Okay. Well, I Googled it.
Okay.
The flavor profile of raccoon is mild, slightly gamey tasting, not overly strong. The texture can be tender, but also be tough depending on the animal's age and cooking method. It's considered to be relatively greasy compared to other meats, so proper cooking techniques are important. You have to thoroughly cook raccoon meat to a safe internal temperature. Does not give the temperature.
I would think.
But it says that it tastes similar to dark meat chicken or turkey with a slightly richer, fattier flavor.
And we're not doing this, right?
No. Some say it can be quite tender when cooked properly. Something tells me that if he has been eating this his whole life, the Leggett family is cooking it properly. Like, this is like, you just don't start with Xavier Leggett, who's like 20 or 21, and that'd be like the first generation of the family cooking and eating raccoon. So I have a feeling this is really good.
I have a dumb. I have a dumb question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you need a tag to hunt this? Do you hunt the raccoon? Do you leave traps out for the raccoon?
How does one
get the raccoon? Do you go to the store for the raccoon?
Dude, he's so country. You may just find it on the side of the road and cook it up. Like, I don't know.
Right. Like, are you on the black web ordering raccoon meat? Like, what's happening here?
This is probably trapped. This is probably trapped. Best comparison is a mix between goose and venison.
Yuck.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want no part of this.
I mean, that doesn't sound nearly as bad as, like, what I would expect raccoon to taste like, right? I mean, it's a roadkill animal.
Exactly. So,
goose and venison, that's actually really good from what I was expecting.
I just don't understand. Like, I'm not here to judge what other people eat. I had, like, 8 pieces of peanut butter pie over the last 2 days.
Yep.
So, I, you know.
Wait, hold on. Glasshouse. You just need to change that to an entire peanut butter pie.
No, because some was gluten-free. It's not. Most of the pie is still there.
That's not
also, you don't know how big my slices are.
That's not how it works. I have a very good idea of how big those slices were. And I am guessing that, four cuts of that pie is about what we were looking at. You ate an entire.
Look, I'm on a fast. Calories don't count during the holidays.
You know,
I don't want
to. I'll accept this. This is good. That's good enough reasoning. I'm on a fast now. Mm-hmm. I'm on a fast now.
I'm dieting now.
All right.
I'm fixing it now.
Xavier Legette, I need to see a cooking show with him in the off season. I think that people would watch for a variety of reasons. One, football fans will watch anything. See Thursday Night Football last night.
Yuck.
Two, his voice, anybody will just sit and listen. And you might have to have the subtitles on because his drawl is so thick that you often can't understand what he says most of the time. Three, it is going to be wild cooking that they are going to be doing. You're telling me that we get a cooking show and it's basically Xavier Legette and his family going out and trapping animals or finding roadkill and cooking it up? I'm in. I'm in for raccoon and squirrel and whatever else that the Legette family has in their backyard. I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. I would love to see it. And I think that they should make a cooking show out of it. You pair up Xavier Legette and Martha Stewart. I'm watching that cooking show. You can put Xavier Legette with anybody. I'm watching that cooking show. I'm in. 100%. 100% I'd be in. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
I'd tune in. I'll tell you what, right now, I've gone down a wormhole of the different, like, places that eat raccoon, and there's a lot of tribes up here that eat raccoon.
See? There we go.
So
let's do it.
Maybe I need to stop knocking it.
And raccoons are everywhere, man. The trash pandas, they're always around. They're everywhere.
Here's what I think I need. Yep. I need to be told that I'm eating raccoon, but not told what is raccoon. I think that's how I'd be able to eat it.
So you want to go blind taste test where there's like 3 different types of meat and you have to guess which one is the raccoon?
Yeah, I think that's how I'm going to have to get down on this. Because I think if I go into it knowing it's raccoon, I'm going to immediately be like, Xavier Legette is an animal and this is gross. Like, I don't want any part of anyone eating this. But if I don't know, then I might like become Team Xavier Legette.
I'm so in on all of this. All right, hour number one is in our rearview mirror. Coming up in hour number two, we will discuss the Seahawks' victory over the Chicago Bears. That is leaving Seahawk fans a little bit more concerned than they are happy with the way that win went down. But where we start, the Rose Bowl rematch, Oregon, Ohio State. The Ducks can do something that hasn't been done in 130 years. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.